Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, everyone. Hello, 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 and welcome to ENN on a Monday evening. I want to start off, first of all, by saying, go give me a follow if you don't on Rosenberg Radio, my Instagram. A lot of wonderful bear content on my IG stories today. And, of course, highlights from the hot dog chicken showdown. And if you're wondering, excuse me, what bear chose?
Hot dog!
That's correct. I was outrageous. A little more excited than he was. But, really, it could have been dangerous. I feel bad now that I scared him so badly. I've never seen someone eating something and get scared so much that the food flies across the room, but it happened. But if you hear the way I screamed, I get it.
Hot dog!
I want to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Come at me, nerds! Come at me!
And then I want to say good evening to the Donald.
Sid Luckman!
That's right. Well, let's start with Jason Hare, the director of The Last Dance. He went on Golic and Wingle this morning, which you can hear every morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. And he was asked, would Jordan have stuck with baseball if not for the baseball strike?
1,000%. 1,000%. I believe that. I believe he would have made the majors. I don't think he would have been an all-star or anything, but I think he would have been content in making the majors and being, you know, a routine outfielder for the White Sox. I truly believe that. And I wasn't sure about that. I doubted it myself. And I thought that this was all kind of just a fairy tale until I talked to Terry Francona and Mike Barnett, the hitting coach, and they were adamant that if he had gotten about 1,000 more at-bats, that he was right there. I mean, for him to hit above the Mendoza line after not picking up a baseball bat in competition since he was 16 years old, to come up and play double-A ball, as Francona said, there's a lot of great prospects who didn't have driving 50 runs. He also could fly on the base paths. I think that's the thing that people forget is what an athlete he was.
Michael, you said the same thing earlier. You know, when you were reminded of the fact that Jordan batted over 200 in double-A ball after not playing for 14 years at 31 years old, starting off his baseball career with a 13-game hit streak. You think Michael could have made the majors?
I just think that what he did with that amount of time off, he obviously had no trouble with fastballs, and all professional players, they can all hit fastballs. The ones that don't hit fastballs, you know they're not going to make it. Then, as you move forward and people figure out, you start to throw breaking balls. And that he really struggled with, and that's why his average was as low as it was. But he had 50 ribbies in what many people have told me is the toughest level of the minors. It's the toughest level in baseball other than the majors, even tougher than AAA. AA is that tough, and the only reason they put him at that high of a level is because they had the facilities to handle the media crush. And also, he's 31, so he couldn't really start in rookie ball and have a five-year ascension to the big leagues. I think that Jerry Reinsdorf was looking to get him on the White Sox, and what's the quickest way? Start him in double A, let's see if he can hit, move him up to triple A, and then he's one injury away from going up to the major leagues. I truly believe to this day, I always will believe this, and I love all sports, nothing tougher than hitting a baseball. A round bat, squarely hitting a round ball, and getting base hits with it. He drove in 50 runs, he hit a home run, on and on we go. I'm not saying he'd be a great player. He'd probably be a marginal player, but combined with the fact that he'd be an unbelievable draw, every place Birmingham went was sold out that year, every single place. And the same thing would happen with the White Sox in Comiskey Park. Reinsdorf's a smart businessman.
Yeah.
I don't think that Jordan would have embarrassed himself, and he would have drawn a lot of people to that.
You had an opportunity to do the reverse, Michael.
What's that?
He wouldn't have been great. Not a great player. Good.
I don't necessarily buy it. Do I think he would have made the major leagues because of what you said? You know, that it, the novelty, the sell the tickets and all that. But listen to what Terry said. I mean, he'd need another 1,000 at-bats. So, in effect, he'd have to play 2 more years in the minor leagues to get those at-bats. So now you're talking about a 33-year-old getting called up to the major leagues. That would be a rarity. And that would be the hopes he improved. He batted 202 with a 289 on-base percentage. The only thing you could really say is that he did drive in 51 RBIs, but he struck out 114 times and walked 51. And so that's why his on-base percentage wasn't great. You heard Greeny say he struggled in the outfield, you know, tracking the ball. Now, maybe that was just because it was his first year back after not playing baseball for a long time. But can a 33-year-old make it to the major leagues and stick? I don't think he would have started. I maybe he would have been on the bench as a fourth outfielder. But at 33, a lot of 200 hitters, Michael, aren't making the bigs at 33.
Well, but the fact that he's Michael Jordan would have gotten him there. So I'm not saying it would have been all on merit, but they would not have brought him up if he would have embarrassed himself. I think he would have been good enough that he could have been an off-the-bench player, and that would get people to the ballpark.
Yeah, that's why I would not say that it would be impossible that he'd be called up, because I guess it would make some financial sense for the White Sox and for Jerry Reinsdorf. The other thing is, and it seemed like everybody seems to think he would be able to do it, could his ego handle being a fourth outfielder, you know, not dominating, not playing, you know, exceptionally well, but just making the major leagues for any length of time? Could he handle that? Not winning, not contributing, being a fourth outfielder on a professional team, would that be enough for him?
I think so, because I think he realized how tough baseball was and the odds he was working against.
I mean, yeah, I guess it depends. We can't get inside where his head was then. Also featured on the episode last night, he talked about his last conversation with his father, where they reportedly talked about the idea of him playing baseball. They really went through the death of James Jordan and how it played out sort of in the media, and really reminded me of how big a deal it was. And to sort of think about it is wild. Someone at the place where Michael was in his career having that happen to his father. They also talked about, you know, the things people said about it potentially being connected to Jordan, how much that hurt Jordan. Also, another highlight was Scottie Pippen. And Pippen sort of standing by his decision to not re-enter Game 3 of the 94 Conference Finals after Phil Jackson drew up a play for Kukoc. Really just a great couple of episodes last night. So, Michael, speaking of athletes of yesteryear, who were exact contemporaries, one of them may be closer to a return than ever before. Mike Tyson released an extended sort of promotional workout video today. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. Very excited.
Don, did you see it?
No.
If you go on Mike's Instagram, that's where I saw it earlier today, and I would recommend everyone do that. This is way more worth watching, I'll say that, than the clip he put out the other day. This already has nearly 4 million views, 62,000 comments, and it shows him... It's considerably longer. It shows him hitting the gloves. It looks like in two different outfits, so it might only be on two different days, but a few different looks. And at the end of it, he says, "I'm back." He also clearly has a sponsorship, because in the post, he also writes, at Smart Cups, hashtag Smart Cups.
What are Smart Cups?
I just looked. Smart Cups, food and beverage company. Smart Cups are the world's first printed beverage.
What?
Excuse me?
What?
That was quite a drop you just gave us. Clean, convenient energy delivered right to your doorstep. It's time to stock up. Free shipping on all orders. I've now looked at two things. I don't get it. Stock up.
He looks, again, I mean, I'm not custom model. He looks great. He doesn't look like he's 53. He's in unbelievable shape. His legs are moving quickly. His arms. I mean, he was paunchy and overweight like 6 months ago.
He'll be 54 at the end of June.
That's right.
You know, so I guess when he fights Peter, he'll be 54.
His birthday is in June, yeah.
Let's see.
I'm 57. I'll be 53 next Saturday.
I don't think there's any chance he'll be competing for a championship.
You don't know that.
I'll tell you one thing that's interesting, though. You know, you never know. Boxers are weird in terms of, you know, what their... Wow, the comments on this are really a who's who. It's very entertaining. I mean, I've never seen this before. The Undertaker commented. Never seen that before.
Is he still... I thought I saw his last match.
No, he's around.
Oh.
He wrote Iron Mike with a boxing glove next to him.
Well,
Be Real from Cypress Hill. I know you'd care about that. His son, Miguel Tyson. I'll say this, though. You never know what kind of athlete a boxer is going to turn out to be as they get older. And Mike is the kind of athlete, it's hard to picture him doing any other sport except boxing. I'll tell you this about him, though. With the exceptions of when he's been depressed, using drugs and alcohol, and gotten fat, his natural sort of resting place to be, if he's happy and well, is being in unbelievable shape. And he does look like a ridiculous...
It's almost like you're describing me.
Yeah. You guys are almost the same age. You look very similar here. By the way, maybe that's the charity fight we could get. Michael, how much? We know you love money. You get a trainer, too.
I'd have to get in the ring with him?
Yeah, you get to wear headgear. He doesn't have to wear headgear. In fact, how about this? I'll add to it. Headgear and body gear, like a light padding over your body as well.
$10 million. Yeah, and I'll give $5 million of it to charity.
$10 million, you'll give $5 million to charity.
Yep.
And for that, you get headgear and light padding on your body.
Right.
And you have to do, well, I mean, it's not going to last more than a round anyway, right? So it doesn't matter.
I'll go down like a punctured balloon.
Don, how long would you give Michael in this situation?
See, the thing that's scary about Tyson, when he was great, there was no feeling out period. I mean, he almost killed Marvis Frazier. He almost killed Michael Spinks. So, I mean, it happens quick.
I want to say this on the show, and I want this to be etched in the annals of history. No one, and I love Mike Tyson, I know his career pretty well. No one references the Marvis Frazier fight more than Michael K.
Because you know what? That it still stays with me. It was so horrifying.
In the words of Andrew Gunling.
It was really horrifying. I mean, you really thought the kid was going to get killed.
It was horrifying.
That was not the only time, though.
And Spinks was like that, too.
His first few fights, he was destroying people.
But I think Marvis Frazier was the first person, or one of the first ones who had a little bit of a name, because
right.
His dad was Joe Frazier.
Exactly.
And it kind of looked like he like died, but was still throwing punches. Like, he was like there, but he wasn't there. I get it. So anyways, we'll see what happens. Now, let's stay with fighting for a second. UFC 249 happened over the weekend.
What'd you think?
First of all, Tony Ferguson got absolutely destroyed by Justin Gaethje in the main event. The fact that he made it the distance was absolutely incredible, and it turns out now he suffered an orbital bone fracture. It was insane. He just got battered nonstop.
I did that to Don in 2006.
I came away from it. I tweeted on Saturday night that if this was any indicator, apparently professional sports don't need fans at all. And obviously that'll be different sport to sport. I've told you guys, it's made wrestling, you know, which of course is not a competitive sport, but as a form of entertainment, totally different. For me, and I'm curious, you can tweet me at Rosenberg Radio or call us, I didn't miss the crowd at all. I thought it was... I treated it the way I always treat UFC events, you know, when I'm kind of home alone just watching one. Like, you know, I'm doing other stuff. I'm eating. I'm texting. I'm doing whatever. But I was entertained throughout the whole night. The Francis Ngannou fight was awesome. He knocked a dude out in like 15 seconds. There were a handful of really entertaining fights. The main event was great. And, of course, they have a great commentary team with Anik Cormier and Rogan. So it was a really fun entertaining event.
And I saw some highlights. I did not watch it live. I saw some highlights, and Peter, if you shoot it the right way, you don't even know there's not
you
a
don't,
cloud.
You don't notice at all. The only thing you noticed was that when they talked about it, you know, and when they did at the end of the night, when they sort of did a recap with the three commentators, it was like they were all there around the octagon, but it was like they were on Zoom. They were all in separate boxes. You know, they weren't sitting next to each other. But, you know, the
I'm
corner men
are taking that precaution.
Yeah,
I
know.
People fighting.
I know, me too. I was surprised by it, too.
And so everybody has obviously tested, and why wouldn't they be sitting next to each other?
So it's funny you say that. So Rogan, they were actually great afterwards. They really talked about the whole thing, honestly. And Rogan and Cormier were both, like, really surprised with how much they liked it. It's almost like they didn't want to bury the fans, but they were kind of like, we didn't care. This was awesome. And it was interesting being able to hear everything that happened. And I think Cormier pointed out that he thought the post-fight interviews were much better because the fighters weren't trying to pop the crowd and make the crowd cheer for them.
Interesting.
They were giving just real interviews after the fight. But Rogan complained sort of jokingly, and he said, at first they wanted me to interview the fighters from across the arena. And he was like, everyone's been tested. I don't understand why. So Rogan was right there in the octagon with his hand on the fighter's shoulders, not even thinking about it. So they're back again on Wednesday night with a free one on ESPN+. It's just a UFC fight night. So they're running again Wednesday, and then I believe again on Saturday. So like this whole week, they're going to see how this thing goes. But I don't know. For me, I always think these fights, it's a pretty penny to fork over to watch UFC. But to me, it was money well spent on Saturday night. I enjoyed it. Hey, guys, spent a lot of time talking commentary there. Well, let's talk Monday Night Football commentary because it's official, or at least it's being reported, awful announcing everywhere. Tessitore and Booger McFarland out at Monday Night Football. They'll be moving to other ESPN roles, supposedly still prominent, but there will be a whole new team. The first one I've seen speculated, by the way, and I don't know how true this is, Michael. I've heard that they're looking at and considering LaGreca, Buttle, and Mark Sanchez to take over Monday Night Football.
No, I didn't hear that. Wow, that's news.
Yeah.
Well, this is unfortunate, and I had forgotten, so I guess I wasn't that mad, that I was upset with Peter.
Why?
Because we had our typical weekend thread, as we've known to do.
Yeah.
Annoying.
And it was, I forgot who sent the first message about Tessitore and McFarland being out. So I thought I'd get cute, and I found a picture of me, Sanchez, and Buttle from one of those, like, Lunch with the Legends that we did. And I sent it out. I said, this is the new Monday Night Football team.
I loved it.
Now, Buttle's in mid-story. And I'm focused, and Sanchez looked like he'd rather be anywhere else on the planet than there. So they were commenting on, oh, look at Sanchez. Greg's probably in the middle of some story. And then Peter, out of nowhere, blind shot to the face. Don's just upset he's not talking. And I thought that was uncalled
for. And you know what the really hurtful
part? Come on.
The really hurtful part is it sounds like Michael didn't even read it, and it was just
a
joke.
I will not get into your reindeer games. I read everything.
But it's true. But Don, it's unfortunate because that joke was just for Michael's edification. He didn't even comment on it.
Do you want me to say, oh, LOL and be a phony? I mean, it was okay.
Oh, I didn't care that
if
Michael
I comment
didn't comment
on it and say that it was funny, right? Then I'm hurting my friend Don.
Hold on. I'm gonna post this picture.
Well, I meant it to be a joke, and you know, and I had it from because I was being a Weisenheimer from the previous week where every time I'd get text messages, instead of not commenting, Michael, I'd send
a picture.
Some rogue picture of Greg Buttle. So I was sending like pictures of Buttle from Penn State and just random pictures of him and his son just to have fun. So I thought it would just be kind of cool. I do that and I'm like, oh, there's a picture of me and Sanchez. Wouldn't that be a funny Monday Night Football team? So I just sent it out just for laughs. And Peter takes just a shot at me.
Well, I got to post this picture, though, because I love it.
I'm telling you who I'm rooting for. And it's just
you.
It's personal. No, I'm not up for it.
Oh, I think you
I hope. I mean, I don't want anybody to lose their jobs, but since it looks like they're looking to replace Joe and Booger, I want Steve Levy to do it.
Well, there's a couple of candidates, Michael, I'd like to throw out, if you don't mind.
Please.
Well, real quick, I want everyone to know I am tweeting the photo on Rosenberg Radio right now, and I just want to say, please look at Sanchez's face.
I know.
And then guess, caption contest, what could Buttle be talking about? That if you look, I just posted it. Sanchez is so confused about what the hell this man must be discussing. And Don, you look a little concerned.
Well, because
you're looking at Buttle like, where are you going, pal? And
why?
Mark is just, I mean, it's
I've known Greg for going on 20 years. If his hand's in the air, he's in the middle of a story that he just can't get a grasp of. You know, it's getting away from him.
That's what's happening.
And if I know it's getting away from him, then we're going to lose our guest. We're going to lose the audience. You know what that was, Michael? That was, if you're looking for something in my face of just anger, it was the day we went to FM.
Okay.
All right.
Big
day
for us.
And that night, coincidentally, was the night that it was the dinner with Sanchez, where we had a bunch of listeners and clients, and Greg and I interviewed Mark Sanchez. And now that we're back on television, I can show you they gave away this helmet, this ESPN New York green helmet, this mini helmet. And it was a big initiative for the station, considering we just went to 98.7. But that was also the same night as Game 7 of Rangers Senators in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah.
And they pulled me off that game.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So I was red hot.
Yeah, you would not have been happy.
So that right, might be the look on my face or whatever. But
right, here, so who do you want, Don?
Steve Levy would be tremendous. Okay?
There's only one place for you to go here. So go ahead.
Now, he would be the guy that I think has worked in doing football and what happened with the XFL. He'd be great. And he's a name and he's a face. He's a good-looking guy. Another guy that I think could work.
Here we go.
Is Mike Breen. Big name. He's done football before. Works for the company. Wouldn't interfere, I don't think, really.
Sure,
I guess it would interfere with the NBA, but you can work around that, right?
You can.
Right? And the other guy that I think nuts and bolts would do a tremendous job.
Here we go.
Is Bob Wischusen.
There we go. My guy. The Wheeze.
Bob!
Wow.
Bob!
I mean, Mike, in order of friendship, Mike's tops, then Levy, and then, you know, then Wischusen.
Wow.
But I like all of them.
But there's no issues. I know Bob does college basketball and college football, but I think he would be all in.
You know how quickly Bob would give up the jet gig? I mean, he wouldn't even have to. He'd hit send. Boom.
You know, you
he's
say
got that,
that
written anyway.
I think it would be harder than you think, though. Let me explain
why. For Monday Night Football?
No. Yes.
No.
Let me explain why, though. Because the job Bob has with the Jets is a lifetime job.
Mm-hmm.
The Monday Night Football gig, basically now going back, well, there was a good run there with Tirico and Gruden. But besides that, you go back to 2000, it's been a rotating door.
Now, let me see if I can appeal to you on this. I don't know what. I have no idea what Bob makes with the Jets. He'd make 10 times that with them Monday night.
And he'd take it. I'm not saying he wouldn't take it. But Don, do you hear what I'm saying?
No,
there's
be
a
easy.
Good chance you wouldn't get the job and you're out
he'd
in
never,
a year.
He would if they said, by the way, Bob, you can never utter the word Jets again. Even if you go on a plane, ever. He'd say, I'll sign off on that.
You're right.
I hear what Peter's saying. Bob Wischusen is going to do the Jets until he doesn't want to do the Jets anymore. It's a lifetime gig. Bob's in his late 40s. He could do it for the next 30 years. Be the voice of the Jets. Great gig.
Why?
You do Monday Night Football. Peter's right. Maybe 2-3 years it doesn't work out, and the Jets already filled the spot.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Didn't Ian Eagle give up the Jet job in an eye blink for the Nets?
Well, it was a TV move.
How
I think it was
am
more
I a
TV.
Jet fanboy?
Well, Monday Night Football's TV.
I understand that.
No, I won't even engage the two of you on this. As much as he loves the Jets, and he does love the Jets, he'll burn every piece of green clothing that he has.
I'm not saying that he would say no to Monday Night Football.
Me neither.
I'm just saying it wouldn't be the way you're describing it. I think it would be he'd struggle for a second.
Let me put it this way.
Oh,
it would be easy.
Keep doubling down.
It would be easy. If ESPN told him you're going to take the Monday Night Football gig, you can't tell the Jets. You just can't show up the first game of the season. he would sign up for that too.
You think he'd do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't, why?
And here's the other thing that may, you might not, you're not even thinking about from a financial standpoint.
Okay.
All right. Now, there's just so we just we, can we all agree that we're like really deep into Bob's pockets right now? So hopefully, I mean, he's okay with that. Is that Bob does college football and college basketball? Right. He would probably have to give that up too. Because he would have to go, obviously, leave early to be in that city. Sometimes he's in, like, West Virginia on a Saturday, right, and then he'll come in to do the jet game, like, and literally land in Newark Airport, like, at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
But, Don, this is a bad argument.
They're not going to let him do that.
But that's a bad argument, because once he's making the decision to do it, you're trusting, you're not even thinking about any of that stuff for Monday Night Football.
Nobody goes into a gig thinking they're going to fail. He's going to think he has it for the next 20 years.
But yeah, I would need guaranteed money. With that job, I would need a good few years where they go, yeah, we're giving you $2.5 million, $3 million, $5 million a year, whatever it is. I'd go, okay, well, I need that guaranteed for 2 years. I need to know I'm getting this millions of dollars in my pocket.
Oh, it's not like well, I we think can't we're all get in talking, touch with the guy.
We're talking sideways. He, I haven't even heard that he was up for it.
Well, he should be.
I keep hearing Levy. Levy.
You're hearing Levy?
No, but you're hearing Levy. Now you heard Wischusen. What, am I nobody?
Well, you're making it up. I've heard it from people in the business.
Boom. Give me a name.
Don, you're not in the business?
I'm not in the business?
You're not in this business.
What business? The business of what? Television? Radio?
You know what? Let's make a
bet. Who said Levy? Give me a name.
Let's make a bet. I'm not going to tell you. People that I respect, they get Levy as a
chance. Oh, my God, Don. He doesn't even respect you.
Because he's making it up. I'm not in the business. He's pulling it out of a tree. He's just, it's a dream portal for him.
Give me a name.
I'm not giving you a name.
Because I'm not afraid to say it. Right here, huge audience on television, radio.
Okay, who told
you? I say Bob Wischusen would be an excellent pick. Now he's in the mix. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. You may not think I'm significant, but you know some people might.
All right. I apologize, Peter. Let me throw another name. Our good buddy Rich Catino. He's up for it, too.
You know what?
See, now you're disrespecting Bob. Now listen, I love Rich. Don't get me wrong. Rich doesn't do play-by-play. Bob play-by-play.
I was the sports director at Fordham. He can do play-by-play.
So let me translate since he's being completely rude, Peter. He doesn't think that Bob could do it.
No.
You know who else has a chance? I heard Peter Dan Grasso. I'm surprised Don didn't throw his hat in the ring.
I'll tell you this.
Dan will take over if Bob gets a job.
If Bob gets the job, then maybe I should have rethought leaving the Jets because maybe I would have had a chance at that.
Why wouldn't you be able to?
It's a great point.
Dan, you'd step all over Dan to get that.
I know
Dan Grasso this,
but I just think that you're disrespecting Bob, and I think it's wrong.
I'm not disrespect. You're making stuff up.
I'm not making Peter. I'm not making it up. I've checked the web. People want Bob for the gig. He works for the company. I know people too, Michael. I don't kiss up to them the way you do and go have lunch and try to build my career. But I know people.
Now, lastly, I will say this, Michael. Steve Levy's a bigger name. He's been around for a long time. Yeah. However, Bob is more entrenched as a big time play-by-play guy right now than Levy.
Do you know that Steve Levy is the second team for the best college football game after Chris Fowler? Those are the names I've heard. Chris Fowler, if there's no college football, they might have Fowler and Herbstreit do it, or Levy. Those are the names.
Listen,
I mean, you're making stuff up.
You guys are disrespecting the clock.
You disrespected me.
Bob.
You disrespected Bob. And you know what's worse, Michael? You disrespected our audience. The people that respect me and Bob.
You made it up. You have not heard it from anybody of substance.
You don't know that. Why don't you give names?
It's been in print, Don, from people that do this for a living.
I'm going to tell you right. I didn't want to say it, Peter. I didn't want to say it. Hmm. Bob Iger. There's a name. Now what do you say?
Iger told you about. Okay, then I stand corrected.
Bob! That'll do it for ENN. What a hot take there at the end. Wow.
Rick DiPietro just texted me. He said, Don had a very important lunch meeting at the Ground Round where Bob was mentioned.
He's not wrong. There was one right there, 17, right by Giant Stadium.
That might be the last Ground Round.
I think that was the last one. We could throw the peanuts on the floor. That was a great place, Mike.
Very good place. I loved it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.